We are at the end of the Haftarah of Parshas Vayechi, the last few psukim. Last thing we learned, there were really three parts of the tzavah which have to do with others. The commandment to kill Yayav, the commandment to support the Bnei Barzilai, and we learned the other night the commandment to take care of, so to speak, Shimi ben Gera. So one of the fascinating things is that Shimi ben Gera was the Rebbe of Shlomo HaMelech.
Right.
He was actually telling him to kill his own, to have his own Rebbe put to death. He didn't have to physically kill him, but to put him to death. And he commanded him to do b'chachma. As it says here in the Pasuk, v'ata tinakehu ki ish chacham ata. Deal with him with wisdom. V'yodata is hasher tasla. You'll figure out how to do it.
Be'irata sevasi v'dam shel. You know, if someone killed his Rebbe and everybody would know it, it would be a forerunner for the future.
Yeah. I don't know about a forerunner for the future. I don't know about that. You know, Rabbi Kreisworth said that he was once giving a shiur in shul, and he told the people that it's funny, I think it's Rabbi Yaisi, when he turned 60, he gave a kiddush. Because yotza mide karis. Because he's not chayiv karis. So, if Kreisworth said, take out the Mishnah, the 36 chayiv karis, which karis was he afraid? He was mizana with his sister? Like, chayiv karis, most of them were in the Beis HaMikdash, Yisurei's Nos. Like, what was he afraid of that maybe he was over in Karis?
Chil Shabbos.
All right, Chil Shabbos with all the pitch of gifts, how can? So he said, one of the people in the audience said, well, it's not that he was over Karis, it's that the people would think he's Chayiv Karis. When he turned 60, it became obvious that he wasn't Chayiv Karis. So if Christ was said, a mispal who thinks about his rav that maybe his chayiv karis could think of such a teretz. You know, that, anyway, whether he was afraid of a precedent of killing a rebbe, I don't know. But the chachma, I want to read to you what he did. It's not part of the Haftarah, but it is here in Perek Beis. So let me read to you the narrative of how he, so to speak, got rid of Shimi ben Gera. It's here in Perek Beis. Pasuk Lamed Vav. V'yishlach HaMelech v'yikol l'shimi. So he calls him, V'yem Elai, B'nei l'cha bayis b'Yerushalayim, Yishavta Sham. He says, I want you to build yourself a house in Yerushalayim and live there. V'loi seitzei misham onavah. Now that's your punishment. You're not allowed to leave Yerushalayim. You must stay in Yerushalayim. V'hoya b'yen tzayischa. If you're going to walk out, V'avartas nachal Kidrain. You'll pass the valley of Kidrain, which is on the other side of the Harabayis. Then you chayav misa, then you're a marib malchus. Now, your punishment is you have to live in Yerushalayim. If you leave, you chayav misa. Pretty good, you know. You get sentenced to live in Yerushalayim. He said, "Toiv adova, kashadibar adani amelach, kein yasa avdecha." It's a deal. But yeshishim Yerushalayim yamim ramim. So he settles in Yerushalayim. Of course, the story would have no ending if it ended there. Vayhimi kates shalishanim. 3 years later, v'yivrchu shnei avodim l'shimi al ochish b'macha melech gas. Two of his avodim escaped, and they ran to gas. V'yagidu l'shimi leimer hinei avodecha b'gas. Excuse me. V'yokum shimi v'yachvish es chamayra v'yel agata al ochish l'vakish es avodim. He went after his slaves. V'yel shimi v'yove al avodim b'gas, and he brought them back. V'yugad l'shleima ki holach shimi u'shleim gas v'yoshev. Shleima found out he left and he returned. V'yishlach hamerach v'yikul l'shimi. But Yemer Elav, Haloyish Baticha Bashem, Void Bacha Leimar. I made you swear and I warned you, saying, Biyam Tseska Valachta Ona Vaona, Vyodaya Teda Kimais Tomus. But Temer Elai Toiva Dover, Shamati, you agreed? Madual Shamata Shmos Hashem Vesamitsa Shetzivisi Alecha. But Yemer Hamelech El Shimi, Atoyadat is Kol Hara. He tells me, you should know really why you're getting Misa. It's Kol Hara, Shiyadal Vavcha Shasisa Ledavid Avi. Background of this is what you did to my father. Hashem is returning your evil on your head. Is the person who took over for as general for Yayav, and he killed him. So, again, the Sichas Musar has a shmuz on this.
He had no answer. He didn't answer.
He didn't answer him. No, there are those who say Habel Shlomo Baruch was actually his answer. He said, "You'll be blessed," and I'm Chayim Misa.
But should he be getting
what?
Why in the hell should he be? You know all the terrible things he
why?
Did. Why? You know all the terrible things he did to Dovah Melech. Why should be said that he was the Rebbe of Shlomo Melech?
Because it's the truth.
No,
the lesson is that great people also can fall. You know, just because a person accomplishes, he can't let his guard down. He has to be careful. Against David, he was married by Malchus.
So why, what right did they have to be Michael on the Kavod
HaMelech? A king has a right to be Michael, even though it's a confusing thing to people. Melech Shemach HaKvodei and Kvodei Michael, when it comes to killing Merib Malchus, it's a Rishus. He's not obligated to. He's allowed to. Interesting. The Lumdis is an interesting Lumdis, which.
And also, Kvodei was allowed at that time.
Yeah. Yeah. At the time, David was running away from Avshalom. It's very interesting. He had a lot of trouble. Achitofel was against him. Shimi was against him. And, as his people are running away, he has the incident with Naval HaKarmeli. He does Naval Chesed. And when he sends his men to ask him for some food, he embarrasses them. So David HaMelech puts on a sword and he goes out to kill Naval. Naval had a wife, Abigail. And Abigail comes out to David and says, "Why are you killing my husband?" He says, "I'm Arab Malchus." So she says to him, "You're not a Melech. Avshalom is Melech now. Now that Avshalom took over and you're running away, and Melech Balayam, you're not a Melech." So David accepted it. David thanked her. And, the Rebbe Yisrael took care of Naval, you know, separately. So as she leaves, she says, "V'zacharta asamasecha, you know, someday just remember me." And ultimately, David marries Abigail. When Naval dies, David marries Abigail. Abigail is one of the seven, Nevi'is of the Jewish people. And I always say that David knew it's his wife as soon as she said, you're no king. You're not the king, you know. So it's true that when he was running away, he didn't have a din of melech. The Rishami says he would not have been chayv a carbon melech at that time. He didn't have a din of a melech. Rechai Shmulevitz arrives. He says he knows a lot of people who never left Yerushalayim. You don't understand the wisdom of David. David obviously did this so that, Shlomo Melech rather, the wisdom of Shlomo, Shlomo did this to have a pretense to kill Shimi. He was geyser on him not to leave. When he left, he gave him Misa. So Chaim Shlomo says, I know a lot of people that spend their whole life in Yerushalayim and never left. Psychological. As he said, it's psychological. He says, a human being doesn't like to be forced. If you choose never to leave Yerushalayim, you can do it. But I tell you, you better not.
Yeah. Then,
okay. Oh, it's a city arrest. It shouldn't be so hard. They say, better not do it. Nobody likes to be forced. Nobody likes to be told what to do. And Tysus, that's a makar. I mean, he brings it as a makar for what Tysus says. Tysus says that the Gemara says, Godol ha-mitzuv ha-vayis ha-mishen ha-mitzuv ha-vayis. It's a very interesting Gemara. It says that Rabbi Yosef, who was blind, said that if someone will show me that a summa potter min ha-mitzvahs, that a blind person is potter, I'll give him a reward. It's a shayla if it's a blind man is potter. I'll give him a reward because if I'm potter for mitzvahs, I do it anyway, my schar is greater. He said later, he realized, God la mitzvah v'aisa, b'sheinu mitzvah v'aisa. It's greater to do mitzvahs when you're obligated than when you're not. He said, if I care, to whoever says sumas chayim mitzvahs, I'll give him a reward. So Tosis and the Ran and the Dharam both say, why should his first thought seems correct? If you do mitzvahs voluntarily, you should get more schar than if you're obligated to do it. And he answers this teretz. He says no one wants to be compelled. Especially Yetzirah, when a person is forced to do something, there's a separate Yetzirah not to do it. And to fight that Yetzirah, you have to do it. Nobody wants to have to do it.
You see, for the Yetzirah.
I've only
told
him
one thing not to eat from. That's the one.
And I'll tell you the truth. You could see a lot of things in human psychology by children. It's well known that you take a 2-year-old, you want him to go up the steps, you tell him you better not go up the steps, he'll go up the steps. Even if it comes from nowhere, he has no desire to go up the steps. You tell him, you said it nowhere, you say you better not go up those steps. The more you warn him, the more likely he is to go up. So the rule is, all the psychological behavior of the predictable psychological behavior of children exists in adults also, except that adults have many cheshbonos for the things they do. But the nature of a human being is such. If you say you better not, especially I feel, what right do you have to tell me, then it's more likely to be the opposite. That's why the Cheirim tool always didn't work, except in the very early years. Whoever was putting Cheirim over the years generally evoked sympathy by Jewish people. When they put someone in Cheirim, you know, when they put certain books in Cheirim, they became bestsellers. What's it all about? You know, so you go and you buy it. So if you ignore it, sometimes you do better. And if you, especially if it's not an interesting book, but if you put it in a cheirim, it's a two-edged sword. Anyway, so he explains that's the chokhma of that's what he said. Ish chokhamata v'yadata shatasala. I do it with wisdom. Pasuk yod near the end of the haftarah. V'yishkav David emavaysa v'yikaver bi'ir David. David passed away and he's buried in Ir David. It says that only Malchus Beis David can be buried in Yerushalayim. No, Emalinim Sameis Yerushalayim. You don't leave a mace overnight in the old city. This is in the old city. Even when they take someone to bury the Harazesim, they don't take them through the old city. They take them around because we try not to have mace in the old city. Emalinim Sameis. You don't leave it overnight. And you don't bury. The site called Kever David may not be Kever David. It seems to be that there's certain consensus it's not, but it seems to be a Jewish Kever. From however they can recognize these things, the signs of the Kever indicate it's a Kever, of a Jewish Kever, in which case it would have to be a Kever of one of the Malchei Beis David, because Jews did not bury in Yerushalayim, only Malchei Beis David and one other person, one of the Nevi'is, was buried in, was made, special exception was made for her. Chulda HaNeviah, a special exception was made because of her greatness, and she was also buried somewhere in the old city of Yerushalayim.
So,
what?
Where is David?
We don't know for certain. Vir David, the site they have now is on Hartzion, what they call Hartzion, at the foot of Hartzion. It's technically outside of the wall of the old city. The way the wall of the old city today is, it's right outside Zion Gate, I believe, the Kever. Somewhere in the old city. I don't know that they know where the Kever is.
No.
But I don't think so. But only Malchus Beis David and Chulda were Jews that were legally at least buried in the old city of Yerushalayim. Okay, the way the walls are now are not the walls. The indentation of the wall around Hartzion is not indicative of where the old city was. We understand that Hartzion was part of it. Part of the old city. The Jews held on to Kever David because that area is a Christian monastery. And the only Jewish foothold is the basement. It's actually on a steep mountain. So where Kever David is, you enter to get to the monastery, you have to go around to the higher point, that's built above Kever David.
So interesting how the Brian Christians picked on them as they go through, this is to them is a big
deal. Well, yeah, okay. They like Yeshaya better.
What?
They like Yeshaya better. But, okay. Now,
he's a descendant.
What?
They claim he's a descendant.
She may have been.
She may have been.
She's certainly Jewish.
Have two places.
Certainly Jewish. You know, the Ramban in his disputation said if the people who knew him didn't hold that he's God, why should the people that don't know him hold that he's... Anyway, this Yerushalmi, Tosfos brings a Chagiga Yud Zayin, that David died on Shavuos, which is the source of our saying Rus, the original source. There are a lot of Jewish history sources. And the Yerushalmi's Lashon is, David died on Shavuos, and whole Klal Yisrael considered themselves Einanim, Aninus, people are part of a mitzvah, and they were not makriv, the carbon of the day, the carbon of Shavuos, and therefore they did it the next day. And that was brought as a source that you could do tashlumin for the karbonis hachag. The Yerushalmi, the Bavli, brings it from the pasuk chagashvus chagasukas chagamachagmas chagas. What? That well, there it says that even the carbon tzibur there was tashlumin. That's what it says. So I believe that's what it says. You can look, it's chagiv yitzayim. So the question is, whether there's a chi of tashlum. And this is already a halachic question. If somebody becomes an einein, someone passes away, loses a parent, let's say, during the night, he didn't have a mariv. And the next morning, they do kfura. After kfura, he davens shachris. Does he pay back the mariv of the previous night? Does he pay back? So the mechaber in Sirim Shin Mem Aleph says there's no tashlumin. If somebody is an einein, he's potter legamri min a mitzvahs, and he's not mechuyev, so there's no tashlumin. You never heard that after kfura you tell them to daven to Shemayna Esreis. But the Dogam Ravava, Noib Yehuda asks, when Yerushalmi says that there is tashlumin. And the Noib Yehuda makes a chilek. He says, if a person was potter, was an einein the entire period of chiyuv. In other words, that's usually the case. Usually the person is not buried so quickly. Let's say somebody dies in the afternoon. So the mariv, the whole night, the person was an einein, so it's not tashlumin after shachris, because he was never chayiv in mariv. But if someone dies in the middle of the night, so there was already a chiyuv mariv on the person, and then he became an einein, then there is a chiyuv tashlumin. Because then,
he had a chiyuv,
and once he had a chiyuv, there's a chiyuv tashlumin if he gets buried before noon the next day, which again is not so common, but it could happen conceivably. And the Mishnah Berurah paskens that way in Siman Ayin Aleph. He paskens this way, like the Dogam Ravava, that there only in that unusual case is there a chiyuv tashlumin, otherwise not.
And everyone agrees
there's
no tashlumin.
And everyone agrees there's no tashlumin, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, David al Yisrael. It's the same thing, but it's rare. It has to be that the person died after someone's already chayav in shachris, after sunrise, and then he lost his relative, and burial took place before sunset. It could happen, but it's just not so common. It could happen, especially in the summer, where sunrise could be 5 in the morning, and the person dies after 5, and kvura is before 8 at night. If it happens, then there's a din tashlumin. I try to remember to remind people when I go to the kvura, after the kvura, say berchas ha'tayra. Berchas ha'tayra chayav a whole day. And the person didn't say Berachas HaTorah in the morning, so after the Kfura, he has to remember to say Berachas HaTorah. So there are certain things that are just full day obligations, but otherwise not.
He has to be involved with the burial. If he's not, then no, right?
He has to be responsible for it, yeah. Right. Yeah, my father, Olav HaShalom, passed away on Shabbos afternoon. The Kfura was Sunday morning. And as they were throwing the earth on the Aron, I was very nervous. I was looking at my watch, and it seemed to me that there was still a few minutes left to the Zman Shachris. So I really wanted to do is walk over to the side in Daven Shemoneh Esrei. But I knew it's going to make everyone's going to go a little strange. You know, the earth wasn't even full, and I'm already davening Shachris. I even say Kaddish. So I really wasn't sure the exact time of Chatzais. I hadn't looked it up. And so I refrained. But technically, the kvura is satisfied once earth is put on the kever. You don't fill it up. Once you throw earth on the kever, the aninus is all over. And if there were a few minutes left to mincha, really, a person in that situation would have to be marchik dalet amis and daven shmoneh esrei for shachris, which would seem strange, but it's, you know, the kaddish is not part of the aninus. The aninus sends at that point.
Havdali is that.
Havdalah we said Sunday, right?
Even though the Shasmut Shabbos you put the gamri.
Even you put the gamri, but whole Sunday is a chiv. If Kfura is Monday, then there's no tashlumin, and that would be different. Yeah. At any rate, v'hayomim hashemalach David al Yisrael arboim shana. It seems that 40 years is a significant number. B'chevroin malach sheva shanim. In Chevroin, that means when Shaul died, he was king in Chevron for 7 years. At that point, Ishbosheth was the king on the other 10 or 11 Shvatim. Although a lot of Klal Yisrael already respected David as being the Melech, Yerushalayim Malach Shloshim Mishalosh Shanim. After the death of Ishbosheth, he ruled over all of Klal Yisrael for 33 years. The number 40 is seen as a complete Kufa. 40 years, Abraham Yom Kodim Mitzvah Savlad, and Abraham Days at Sinai. The significance of the number 40 has to do with a complete period. There's a Sfas Emes on Saita. It's not printed with the regular Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes on Saita says that When it says Goliath terrorized Klal Yisrael for 40 days,
right.
So it's very interesting. Sfasemis, he says that when you daven without kavana, you daven, if it ever happens, right. You daven Shmona Esrei without kavana, the Shmona Esrei could still be pulled up to heaven up to 40 days with a good davening. In other words, you know, mark your calendar, try to have a good davening once every 40 days. And that's Milo, the other Shmona Esrei, is up as well. And Goliath tried to distract them for 40 days. They should have the Goliath. How we knew the Lomdis, I don't know. But the 40-day period is some mystical significance. Must them every morning and every evening. Yeah. Okay. Shlomo Yashal Akisei David Aviv. Shlomo sat on his father's seat. Vatikoi Malchusai Ma'oid. And he had a very successful Malchus. After the stipler died, Reb Chaim Kanievsky sat in his seat in the Beis Medrash. And someone had the courage to ask him whether it's proper to sit in your father's seat after he passes away. So he quoted from him a pasuk in Mishlei, something like "B'mokim avisecha," it's your covenant that you'll sit there. It's an honor for a father that his son is able to sit in the seat. It says, "Shlomo Yashav Akisei David Aviv." He could have quoted this pasuk. Shlomo sat on the seat of David.
We don't do that.
What?
We don't do that. We go away from the seat we have for the gift.
No child davens in the same shul as his father that long that he should sit in the seat. So it doesn't come up all that much. At home, you don't sit on the seat. Yeah, it's true.